There's no shortage of ways to describe the stock market, you know, like it takes the stairs up and the elevator down. But one of the latest does seem appropriate. The market is kind of like a butter churn. Up and down and swirling all around, that's the market these days. Today, host Rob West chats with investing expert Bob Dahl about what to expect in the weeks ahead. Then it's your calls on anything financial at 800-525-7000. Jot that down, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. The summer market churn continues. That's next right here on MoneyWise Live. Rob, our guest, Bob Dahl, is a senior portfolio manager and the chief equity strategist at Nuveen Asset Management, where he manages $4 billion worth of assets. That's billion with a B, so I'm sure he knows what he's doing.
I'm sure of that, and you thought you had a lot on your plate when you woke up this morning.
I can't find my checkbook, so there you go.
Bob, great to have you back with us, my friend.
Thank you, Rob. Same here.
We're looking forward to talking today. There's a lot to cover, so we're going to move quickly. You know, we'll get into some details, but why don't we start at 30,000 feet, Bob? What do you see and what do you expect to see in this crazy market in the weeks ahead?
Steve already mentioned it, the summer churn. Our guess is we're going to kind of go sideways, but that doesn't mean no change. It may be up some days, down some other days. Value stocks leading one day, growth stocks the next day, big cap one day, small cap the next day, a lot of back and forth. I would say the newest variables, Rob, are we now have a bunch of companies reporting second quarter earnings, and they are ugly as expected. The market knew that, so it's not having a problem with that. And the other issue is the fiscal package. The Republicans are trying to get their own act together this week so they can sit down with the Democrats next week and iron out differences between the parties and try to pass something early August.
Okay, very good. Well, volatility is here to stay. We've got ugly earnings. As you said, we've got fiscal questions out there on the horizon with regard to future stimulus and what's going to happen there. We also have this little thing called an election, huh?
Ah, yes, that's not too far away. Markets tend to pay attention to elections around convention time, and that's just around the corner. As you know, the public opinion polls, more importantly, the money polls, have increased almost weekly the Democrats' chance of sweeping. Should that happen, we can almost count on higher taxes and more regulation, two items that are not particularly capital markets friendly. So I think the market could have some churn in the wrong direction when if and when that happens.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to watch, obviously, in the days ahead. Bob, talk about what we've seen in terms of this market recovery. Has it been somewhat narrow or more broad-based?
Well, initial days, it was very broad. First of all, the magnitude was immense. So you can't just have a few stocks pick up 80% of what we lost in that quick bear market. Of late, meaning since this churn started, call it early June, the market breadth has deteriorated, meaning fewer stocks are participating to the upside. Yes. All the attention is on the big five, the FANG stocks, and they are certainly big leaders. And there are a bunch of other stocks that have done well, too, but it seems like each day that passes, so more and more attention on those big stocks, which have had some problem days of their own.
Yes, yeah, no question about that. Bob, obviously, one of the other huge factors affecting the market right now almost daily is the news coming out related to coronavirus cases. Obviously, we've seen an uptick in the daily cases here in the U.S. What is the market looking for, given that the market is looking out 6 months or more?
I believe the market is saying this is a flare-up from the first round. What the market's worried about in its, pondering, if you will there be a second phase later on? Can we get the schools open? All of those good things. The bulls point to the fact that the death rate continues to fall, and the bears point out that the number of cases has moved up a lot. So you can get whatever you want out of this coronavirus.
All right. Well, a lot more to cover. We're going to talk job numbers. We're going to talk government policy. We'll cover the waterfront right around the corner.
We will indeed. Bob Dahl, our special guest today, helping us take a look at today's stock market and going into the future as well. Now, if we can help you with anything financial today, call 800-525-7000. Lines are open and available. We'll be right back.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is Max McLean. We all have needs, right? But Scripture tells us to be content with what we have. Listen to the Bible from Philippians 4. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. From Philippians 4, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
The Listener's Bible, narrated by Max McLean, may be a great way to help you devote more time in God's Word. Now you can download the Bible directly to your computer. To hear more, go to radiobible.org. That's radiobible.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise Live. Our special guest is Bob Dahl. He's a brother in Christ. He really knows his way around money, finances, Wall Street, you name it. And in his part-time, this is just word on the street. I understand, Rob, that Bob had been training for the Tour de France, and then they called it off. And so it kind of put a wrinkle in his schedule this month. Yeah.
Yes, yes. An avid cyclist and still makes time for us. That's right. No Tour de France this year. Hey, Bob, we've covered a lot of ground already, a lot more to cover here. Talk to us about the sectors that are performing well and perhaps which not so much.
Yeah, so consistent with earlier periods that are like this, meaning where we've had amazing central bank, Fed easing. We call it quantitative easing. In QE periods, technology and healthcare stocks tend to do the best. This is the fourth QE in the last 15 years, and tech and healthcare are doing it again. And the two worst, utilities and REITs. So it's a playbook out of normalcy when it comes to quantitative easing, despite it being a very abnormal period.
Okay, Bob, I'm going to jump in and ask a question that may sound a little basic for you, but QE, define that, and then REITs, define that.
Sure. Quantitative easing is QE. It is whereby the Fed takes certain types of programs and interest rates and provides amazing buttressing aid to the markets. That's quantitative easing. REITs, okay. Real estate investment trusts. They're equity real estate offerings. It's one of the 11 sectors in the stock market.
So it's a way to invest in real estate without actually buying a piece of property or taking possession of property, something like that.
Correct. They are public securities, just like technology and healthcare stocks.
All right. Appreciate that. Let's take a call. Tinley Park, Illinois. Hi, Robert. What's your question today? How can we help you?
Hello. Can you hear me all right?
You go right ahead. We hear you great.
Okay.
Good.
Hi, Bob. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your dedication to what you do. My question today is, when it comes to bonds, which is what I mainly like to focus in, what would you say would be some of the cheaper, safer bonds for non-accredited investors? To give an example of what I've already found myself, because I'm not, thankfully, I'm not coming in this completely clueless. I'm already trying to encourage, I've already invested in Israel bonds myself, and I encourage others to do so because they've set their bar so low, you can get in the door at $36 with their e-mitzvah bond. So I was wondering what else I might be missing that's out there that's safe, secure, and surprisingly cheap.
Thanks, Robert. Bob, your thoughts?
Most bonds are pretty expensive. When interest rates are low, that means the bond prices are high, meaning they're expensive, and vice versa, as you know. And right now, interest rates are as low as they've ever been, and therefore bonds are pretty expensive. You also use the word safe. You know, putting expensive and safe together is difficult. The safest bonds tend to be treasury securities because there's no credit risk. I think in the United States, given we're in economic recovery, a basket of corporate bonds probably makes sense. It's the government bonds that scare me when you have a 10-year treasury selling at 0.7%. I don't think there's a lot of money to be made there.
Excellent. Robert, we appreciate your call today. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Bob, we've talked about interest rates before. You just referenced it. Talk about the interest rate environment. We get questions here all the time asking about whether inflation or even hyperinflation is right around the corner as a result of all of this stimulus combined with these incredibly low rates. And then there are others out there talking about what if we see negative interest rates. Talk about what that is and whether that's a possibility.
Yeah, that's a great set of questions. Let me keep it simple. Negative interest rates, let's start there, are when, in fact, there's a minus sign in front of the interest rate. In other words, you go to the bank and say, I've got $1,000, I want to put it on deposit at the bank, and you say, how much will you pay me? And they say, no, interest rates are negative. You pay us. It's a very foreign concept. In fact, it's happened in foreign countries. Europe and Japan have experimented with negative interest rates, and the experiment hasn't worked out too well. Fed Chair Powell, almost every chance he gets, say, no negative interest rates in the U.S. Let's hope that remains the case. So interest rates in general, Rob, as you know, there's a yield curve from zero, the Fed funds rate, out to basically 30 years for government bonds. And at every level, interest rates are lower than they've been just about any time in history. The Fed has said they will keep their front end, their zero maturity, anchored at zero for as far as the eye can see, and then the rest of the curve slopes gently to the upside. The reference tends to be a 10-year Treasury bond, and as I mentioned, that's selling at about 0.7%. To your question, how are we going to pay for all this? Not the question for 2020. A recession is disinflationary / deflationary. That's why rates are so low. But as we move into recovery, into 21 and 22, the question will be how do we pay for all this? And then there is some risk of inflation. One of the options the government has to pay for is to reflate, turn on the printing presses, to keep it simple, which would torpedo our currency and create an inflation. Not a very pleasant outcome, but the other alternatives, raising taxes significantly or kind of letting the deficits stay where they are, they're not very pleasant alternatives either, Rob. We have borrowed from the future. We're going to have to figure out how to pay for it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we don't have much precedent for during the times of plenty dialing back our spending. For some reason, we just don't ever see that, do we?
Well, therein is the problem. When I get on my soapbox, I say the same thing. It's fine to run a deficit for the government as long as in the good times you've run a surplus so they can balance out over time. But somehow that chapter in the textbook was ripped apart.
Unfortunately. All right, Bob, let's talk about what investors might expect just in the coming months. You know, there's a case to be made that perhaps on the positive side, we've seen a lot of the good news already baked in. Good news around therapeutics and a vaccine and good news about a much quicker recovery. And we've got, as you mentioned, incredible stimulus. I guess the real question, though, is has the bad news been baked in fully? What do you think?
Well, I think the 35% decline in the stock market from mid-February to mid-March was the market saying, guys, expect a lot of bad news. That's a pretty vicious decline in a short period of time. So the market baked it in. The question to me is, okay, now we've retraced kind of 80% of what we lost. Is that a bit overdone? And my view is it probably is a bit overdone. There's no question the recession is over. Let me repeat that. The recession is over. It lasted 3 months, February, March, and April. A recession ends when the economy starts back up. May was much stronger than April. June was a lot stronger than May, and so it goes. So far, Rob, as you know, we've witnessed a V, an abrupt turn to the upside. My guess is we will continue to see upside, but it's going to get bumpier, and the slope will be less steep. So let me say it this way. We lost 22 million jobs in the recession. In the 2 months that we've had recovery, we've gained 8 million back. My guess is we'll get another 7 or 8 million back, but not in the next 2 months, probably over the next two quarters. Okay. And then after that, the remaining 7 or 8 million, that gets a lot harder. That'll be a story for next year.
Yeah. Bob, we're obviously looking at the markets through the lens of what's happening right now. We're looking out 6 months or more, but we're not encouraging people to try to time the market. We're just trying to process what's going around us. But obviously, the longer term is where folks need to be focused if they're going to be disciplined, prudent investors. Over the next couple of years, are you seeing returns that are perhaps less than what we've seen the last 5 or 10 years on average?
Sadly, yes. Already mentioned and hinted, I think the market's a little ahead of itself. I already said to the in answer to the question about bonds that bonds are expensive. Well, stocks are kind of expensive, too. And when you start at expensive levels, it's hard to get great returns. Let me say it this way. The traditional 60-40 portfolio, 60% in stocks, 40% in bonds, over most time periods of reasonable length over the last 50 years, that portfolio's returned almost 10% per annum. I think we'll be very fortunate in the next 5 to 10 years to come close to half that kind of return.
All right.
So we've got just a condition our expectations.
Yeah, makes sense. We've got just a minute left. Center us, Bob, on a kingdom perspective, an eternal perspective of where our trust should be in light of these uncertain times.
Wow, boy, I could go lots of directions. Let me go this one. I was recently reading Corrie ten Boom, and you know what Corrie said. Don't hold on to anything so tightly that Jesus can't take it from you, something like that. What we hold on to reflects our understanding of what we believe will keep us secure. So what am I trying to say? Our money is not ours. It's God's. And so we need to hold it loosely. We have to have an open hand and not get so obsessed with the 1,000-point move up and the 1,000-point move down. Yes, we need to be stewards of what God's entrusted to us because he is allowing us to be his money manager with what he's given us, and we need to take that seriously. But let's not make it control us.
I love it. You need to read Bob's weekly commentaries. You'll find them at nuveen.com, N-U-V-E-E-N.com. Bob, before we let you go today, tell us the specific funds you manage.
So I manage a series of large-cap U.S. equity funds, large-cap core, equity market neutral, equity long-short. They're the three.
Excellent. Bob, so thankful for you, my friend. Appreciate you stopping by.
Same here. God bless.
All righty.
Thanks, and you too, Bob. We appreciate that very much. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. Here's our phone number, 800-525-7000, and we'll be right back after this.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Prayer is one of the mysteries. It may be one of the most mysterious elements of the Christian disciplines. And one of the big questions that in philosophical circles that we could wrestle with in Christianity is, how much does prayer help, matter, or change anything? I mean, if God's going to do what God's going to do, why pray? I mean, you've heard that 1,000 times. But God's word says in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, that we are to pray about everything. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God never wastes our time. So if he says pray about everything, that means everything can be affected by prayer. Amen? There is never anything too small or too hard. And so the mystery of it is, how much and what and how does it change? What happens in the heavenlies? And these are not answers I have for you today. There are things that Paul is intentionally causing us to wrestle with through different places in the epistles, so that we'll try to come up the place where we can bend the knee to some things we will never truly understand, but we do out of pure obedience to believe that what God says is true.
You've been listening to Beth Moore with today's quick word. Beth would love for you to tune in each Tuesday night for Bible study. Class begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Central on TBN. Maybe you had to miss a Tuesday. No problem. Go to BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org. You can watch the latest episode of her television program and more. Again, that's BethMoore.org.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones. Or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in and joining us today. We know you have lots of other options. Maybe you're driving, you just missed your exit, you're distracted, but nonetheless, we're in the background and we are honored that you choose to join us today. Now, if we can help you with something financial, 800-525-7000 is our phone number. If you have a question or a comment for Rob West today, 800-525-7000. Downers Grove, Illinois. Hello, Joe. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I have a couple of questions. One is in regards to, I'm still working, I'm in my 70s, but one of the things I was wondering about is when I finally do retire and I decide to roll over my 401k, I was looking into one of those robo-accounts because I was thinking the management fees are so much less than going to a regular management firm. And number one, I was wondering what you had thought of the firm called Betterment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm familiar with it, Joe, and it's one of the great new fintech companies that have sprung up as of late, very similar to something called Wealthfront. Both do a great job as long as it's a right fit for you. And by that, I mean, with the robos, you're obviously going to get less hand-holding. You don't have an actively managed strategy, somebody you can go sit down with face-to-face. But in lieu of that, you get a very effective user interface through an app or a website. You can answer a series of questions. They use ETFs that are index-based.
based to build a very low cost, very effective portfolio that's passive. And what that simply means is that you're going to capture the broad moves of the market and the allocation between stocks and bonds and the various sectors within the stock portion is going to be appropriate for your age, risk tolerance, and objectives. And so all that is a good thing. I think once folks move up beyond a certain level of asset, they find that having an investment professional managing it for them is often more effective. But it doesn't mean that the robos aren't capturing a lot of assets and in many cases doing very, very well. And I would put Betterment in that category of a very high quality robo advisor. How much do you have, Joe, if you don't mind me asking, that you'd be rolling over?
Yeah, that's the problem. That's why I'm still working. I only have about $200,000 is about it.
Okay.
You know, as far as and I'm almost completely debt free. I have a small mortgage left on my home, and that's one of the reasons that I'm still working. Plus I'm taking Social Security, so that's kind of helping me to pay off everything before I do retire. But I'm just really worried about whether or not I'll ever have, enough to last me. God willing, I don't know how much longer I will live, but I just want to make sure that there is enough so I don't have to depend upon my children. I really have been independent, thank God, and hopefully we'll be able to stay that way.
Well, and therein lies the opportunity, Joe, I think, to connect with an investment and financial planning professional who can give you some peace of mind by helping you work through the plan, looking at what your needs are from a lifestyle and expense standpoint on a monthly basis, looking at the assets you have, not only the income stream of Social Security, but looking at that $200,000 and whatever it'll grow to between now and then so that you can monetize it. You can turn it into an income stream, protect the principal, but throw off a little income that you can use to supplement the other income sources you have. I think that's the real benefit you have, and it'd be worth the expense of hiring that investment and financial planning professional. So I'd go to moneywiselive.org, click on Find a CKA, and connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Illinois. I'd interview two or three, find the one that's the best fit, and certainly Betterment is another option as well.
And we appreciate that call and that question today, Joe. Thanks very much. When we come back, we'll speak with Lynette and Beth. This is MoneyWise Live.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hi, this is John Hemmer from Moody Radio. The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2. When God created mankind, He made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And He named them mankind when they were created. That's Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2, the Moody Radio verse of the week.
I was known for just hustling, getting over, getting by.
That was Ronald Clay's life in prison. One day, in hopelessness, he cried out for God's grace.
God delivered me from hell. When I got saved, I had a heart to want to do and work for the kingdom.
Moody Radio was there for Ronald in prison. Today, he attends Moody Theological Seminary, preparing for ministry. Read his story in this month's free e-newsletter, Uplift. Go to mymoodyradio.org. mymoodyradio.org.
Your family and your money are two very important subjects. That's why in this month's MoneyWise e-magazine, we're giving your family tips and tools to grow closer to God, closer together, and closer to true financial freedom. Get practical advice to strengthen financial communication in your marriage, infuse more budget-friendly family activities into your week, and a lot more. Your free MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywise.org/signup.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump and Attorney General William Barr have announced Operation Legend, which will dispatch federal agents into several American cities, including Chicago, to help combat rising crime. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar says the U.S. has signed a contract with Pfizer for delivery in December of the first 100 million doses of a COVID-19 vaccine that the pharmaceutical company is working now to develop. Americans stepped up their home purchases in June by a robust 20.7%, according to the National Association of Realtors. Despite that sharp gain, purchases still down 11.3% from a year ago. Stocks closed with solid gains on Wall Street, but only after a choppy day of trading. The Dow gained 165 points, the NASDAQ up 25, and the S&P picked up 18. This is SRN News.
God's wisdom for your finances, that's what we try to find when you call us each day here on MoneyWise Live, 800-525-7000. He's Rob West, the good-looking one. I'm Steve Moore, the other guy. Chicago, Illinois, Lynette, how can we help you?
Yes, I'm calling because I have so much going on right now. I'm going through a divorce, and the judge recommended that I give 40% of the house to my soon-to-be ex-spouse. I've been living in the house, but I have to give him 40% of it.
40%? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I get 60, he gets 40. So I would either have to refinance, sell it, or I could rent it to my son. But I also have a credit card bill of $10,000 because that's how I was paying for the lawyer. If I let my son rent the place, the money that he gives me, overage, I'm going to have to go on a credit card bill because I'm going to have to look for an apartment. And the only reason why I want to leave this house because my spouse moved in three doors down from me with another woman. And it's been going on since 2014, so it's been a lot of stress and stuff, and I've just been pushing through it.
Sure. Well, Lynette, first of all, I'm sorry to hear all that you're going through. I know these are challenging times. The Lord is with you. I'd like to pray for you here in just a moment, but let's deal with these questions. First of all, what about just selling and taking care of paying the value that you owe to your ex-husband, equivalent to 40% of the home, and then going out and either buying something smaller or renting just so you can start over fresh? You're not trying to make ends meet with perhaps a house that's bigger than you need, having to rely on your son. And what if he moves in and then decides he wants to do something else, or he can't make the rent payment 1 month, or, you know, now all of a sudden we've got a relational dynamic involved here. So I think just the more simple thing that allows you to have a fresh start and perhaps gets, and I don't know how much equity you have, but hopefully you could pay what's owed to your husband and clean up this credit card debt and get into a new place and kind of restart from there with a budget that balances, where you can build up an emergency fund and then start putting something away for your future. Tell me about that. What thoughts do you have on that approach?
Well, I have been praying on it because of, like, my first thought was I wanted to keep it, my first home.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, you know what? It's just so much. It's just, I've been pushing everything behind. I just want to leave. I made my mind up to leave the house. I don't want to be here anymore. So my son came to me and said, "Mom, I rent it from you. I don't want you to sell." I'm like, "Well, that's a good idea, but it's not about him. It's about me. And I need that closure to get away from all of this." So my mind
I completely agree.
Yeah, I think the more I hear you talk, the more I'm completely in agreement, Lynette, that this would be really healthy for you just to be able to sell this, move on, start over, ask the Lord what he has for you in this new season. Your son will find a place to live. There's plenty of places out there, but getting mixed up and holding on to this property, the constant reminder, not to mention your son, you know, being a lessee or a renter with you being the landlord, you know, that can just create some challenging dynamics. So I think that's the direction I would head. And let me pray for you before we let you go today. Father, we just lift Lynette up to you. Thank you that you are her father, that she is your child, that you know every detail of what's going on in her life right now, and that you're near to her. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would descend. You would give her wisdom. You would give her strength to press on. You'd give her a vision, Lord, for what you have for her in this new season of life. Thank you that her identity is in Christ and no one and nothing else. And the same is true for each of us. Thank you that you died to save us from our sins, Lord, and that through your atonement on the cross for our sins, Lord, we can have life and be restored into a right relationship with God our Father. And so, Lord, we tell you today we trust you. We commit Lynette to you, ask you to provide for her and protect her, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Rob, if I may, any other thoughts regarding the $10,000 on the credit card?
Ideally, through the proceeds of this home sale, she'd be able to pay that off. If not, Lynette, I'd still do it. And I'd visit with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org, get that in a credit counseling program with one payment that fits into your budget with reduced interest rates, and let's see if we can't get that paid off once and for all.
Yeah, and they have a real heart for ministry, Lynette. They're going to walk with you through this. They'll understand what you're going through spiritually, and again, we'd recommend them to you, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Thank you. Thank you very much. Franklin, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville. And hello, Beth. You have a question for Rob?
Yes, I do. With the elections coming up and just everything so up in the air, I was wondering, would it be smart to sell stock and pay off the remainder of our mortgage? Or would it be just beneficial to hold? Because right now the stock market's doing great, but I don't know what's going to happen after November.
Yeah. Beth, tell me about this stock account that you have. Is it a retirement account? Is it just a taxable brokerage account with some investments in it? What is it?
Both.
Okay. Well,
partly
I would...
401k, partly investments. Yeah, both.
Okay. And the part that's not the 401k, it's not in an IRA or some other tax-deferred vehicle. It's just in a straight brokerage account?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And would you say, let's say you were to keep the 401k intact and based on what you're currently putting aside every month, would you say that you're on track for your long-term retirement savings? Are you behind? Where are you at with that?
Oh, no, we're doing well.
Okay.
But,
all right.
You know, with whatever happens, you know, you can put the, I don't know what you call them technically, but you kind of freeze stop loss.
Yes.
Put, you know, whatever that's called to put into effect so you don't lose everything.
Sure.
Those are active and, but I don't know. I don't know if we should go ahead and just pay off the house and then just not have to worry.
Yeah. Well, a couple of sides to this. Yeah.
Or it doesn't grow further.
Sure. Well, as it relates to the stock portion of it, we'll talk about paying off the house in a second. You know, I'm not a big believer in trying to time the market, to anticipate future market moves, whether the next year is going to be up or down or flat. I just think that's a losing proposition. Here's what we know. Over the last 100 years, a well-balanced stock and bond portfolio appropriate for your age and risk tolerance is the very best way to produce wealth. Systematic contributions, buying in, like in a 401k, dollar cost averaging, where when the market's down, you're buying more shares with the same money. When the market's up, you're buying less shares, and you capture the broad moves of the market, which over the last 100 years has been very good. The S&P 500 has done better than 9% a year. That's great. Are there going to be years where it's flat? Yes, but trying to pick and choose which years those are is just a losing proposition. So what I'd rather you do is just stay the course and be systematic in your investments, and again, look at this as a long-term play.
Now, when you ask about, though, paying off your house, especially when it comes to non-retirement assets, I don't have any problem with that. You know, a lot of people will say, well, on average, I can do better in the market. What about paying it off? Well, you've got a guaranteed return equal to the interest rate. Now, because interest rates are so low, a lot of people will say, well, I'd rather just capture the big moves in the market over time and pay that interest, which, by the way, for most people is tax deductible. But if you would have greater peace of mind or you have a conviction about being debt-free, I would absolutely pay that mortgage off and not look back, because you'll feel great knowing you have that safety and security in owning your own home and having no encumbrances. But in terms of doing it only because you think the next few years are not going to be good, I don't think that's the reason to do it. I'd take the long game when it comes to your investments.
Beth, we're glad you called today. We wish you the best. More Money Wise Live coming up.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. Sharing your faith is no longer optional. According to God, it never was. But it definitely isn't any longer, and it's never been easier. For the first time in human history, the entire world is in turmoil and seeking God for answers, and you're Christ's ambassador. If you don't know the answers, your personal Bible study is about to explode, searching for the answers that everyone's asking. And guess who will grow the most? These are exciting days rolling out exactly as God said they would in His prophetic scriptures. In case you haven't gotten the message yet, it's time to ignite your Bible study and your faith and your ability to share your faith, because everyone around you is in desperate need for the peace of God that passes all human understanding. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God just used you to lead somebody to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
A new Gallup poll surveyed parents with children under the age of 12. You know what they found? 95% believe in God. That sounds good at first, until you stop to think about it. Why hasn't it had a bigger impact on our culture? I mean, just to believe something isn't the final step, it's the first step. I mean, if you believe a fire extinguisher can put out a fire, it doesn't do any good to stand there while the fire burns. You need to act on your belief and put out the fire. So, do you believe in the God of the Bible? Act on your belief. See, God has a plan, and it's written down in the Bible so you can read it. God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the plan. He came to earth and made a way for you to act on your belief. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, if you'd like to visit us online, we're easy to find. First of all, you'll find us on Facebook, or you can visit our website, which is moneywiselive.org. I think you'll find lots of helpful information there. Much of it is absolutely free. Things like budget templates and planning items for your family or yourself. Radio archives, past radio programs from the last year or so. Also, how to easily find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, or ways to connect with a budget coach at no charge. So again, it's moneywiselive.org. It's also where you can make a quick and easy gift if you'd like. As a 501c3 ministry, we really do depend upon not only your prayers, but your generous financial gifts. Again, you can give online when you visit moneywiselive.org. Just click the donate tab. Miramar, Florida. Hello, Cheryl. Thank you so much for holding. What's your question today?
Yes.
Hi, Cheryl.
I wanted to. Hi. Can
go
you
right
hear
ahead.
Me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Hi. I wanted to buy some stocks, and I needed to know, like, do you have like a company that you could refer me to? I'm a beginner.
Yes. You know, it's a great thing to really begin your journey to understand how to invest and how to manage God's money in a way that allows you to live out his principles, recognizing you're the steward, he's the owner, and dealing with your giving and your saving, but ultimately your investing as well. You know, we have partnered for a long time with a wonderful organization called Sound Mind Investing. I'm going to send you a book. If you hold on the line today, Amy Rios will get your information, and we'll send you the Sound Mind Investing Handbook. But also visit their website, soundmindinvesting.org. And in addition to some great content that you'll see there, they'll help you actually get started in this whole area and understanding investments from God's perspective, and perhaps even as a beginner, buying some high-quality, low-cost mutual funds. So soundmindinvesting.org, and you stay on the line. We'll get you the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, and that'll really, I think, get you started on your way.
It will indeed. It's great reading and easy to understand, particularly for the average or beginning investor, Cheryl. Thank you so much. Indianapolis. Hi, Lorianne. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
So I'm 29 years old. I've recently started my, I guess, journey to financial freedom. So I've been learning a lot about finances. I invested in the stock market, and I'm getting my finances where they need to be. Now, with my mother is recently retired, and so I've kind of been, you know, helping her with her finances as I've been discovering more. And I see that she has an individual retirement annuity. Now, I don't know much about it, but from listening to your program and other sources, I know that it's not good. So, and that's where the bulk of her money is. So I'm just wondering, I know there may be surrender charges, but I'm just wondering what's the best form of action to get her out of that.
Sure. Well, I think the first question is to evaluate what she has, because although I'm not a huge fan of annuities, especially an IRA annuity, because you've already got the tax benefits of the IRA, so we're just kind of adding an insurance contract onto it. We don't need the tax benefits, so that would then only be purely for the investment returns, and often the annuity investment returns are not as good because of the drag from the fees and expenses as you might be able to get otherwise. I just like a simpler approach. And as you mentioned, to get out of it or make a change, oftentimes there are surrender charges. So to keep your flexibility and perhaps, have better overall returns, albeit while giving up the protection of the downside that an annuity can offer, I think it is worth perhaps considering. But I wouldn't just do it automatically, because given her goals and objectives, what she's trying to accomplish, and the reason she purchased the annuity in the first place, which may have been to protect against downside loss. She may have been looking to capture a portion of the upside of the market and wanting to really take away the potential to lose money, which is often why people will transfer the risk to the insurance company. I just would want to understand exactly why she got into it and what she has. So I'd recommend, Lorianne, that you connect your mom with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Indianapolis. I know there's some great ones. You can find them at moneywiselive.org. Just click find a CKA. Have them evaluate what she has and then talk through what she's trying to accomplish, because it could be that she could roll it out to an IRA, and then it could be managed there more effectively. Or they may say, no, the annuity you have is exactly what you need, given what you're trying to accomplish, and you should stay put. But they can look at all the details related to the surrender charges, the investment options, and all of those factors. So that'd be the direction I would go, and I know your mom will appreciate your help. So I appreciate you looking after her.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling.
Okay, Lorianne.
God bless. Cleveland, Ohio. Becky, how can we help you?
Hi. I had a quick question about life insurance policies. I have one with my job, but I've been encouraged to obtain life insurance outside of my job also. My salary is around $50,000. I'm about $100,000 in student loans, and I have a student who's going to be entering into high school this coming fall.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Becky, I think the key here is to recognize the purpose of the life insurance. Obviously, if something were to happen to you, the purpose of the insurance is to help offset any debt that would need to be paid off, income replacement for dependents, people who depend upon you for income, and then a smaller amount for perhaps mortality, and then, as you said, education in the case of your son, if there's not already funds set aside for that purpose. As a rule of thumb, often we'll use 10 to 12 times your income. So if you use that 12 times your income number, that would say with $50,000 in salary, you'd need about $600,000 to throw off the roughly $50,000 in income that you would be looking for during your working years, not through retirement, because that would include the savings that you have, but at least during the rest of your working years, while someone like your son is depending upon you for income, that $600,000 could provide income replacement. And then you may want to be at the upper end of that range 12 times instead of 10 to make sure that you can cover some of these other things so that there'd be funds for education and perhaps debt repayment. So I would look at that and perhaps connect with an insurance broker who can go out and shop the market to find the best company for you that's strongly rated. But given your health status, find the one that would give you the most aggressive pricing. And if you need an insurance professional there in Cleveland, you could find one on our website. Just click Find a CKA and select the insurance option in Cleveland, and you could find a number of them. But I think generally speaking, over and above what's provided through your work, you're probably looking for between $500,000 and $600,000 worth of coverage.
Mm-hmm. Rob, obviously, when you contact someone who sells life insurance, they're going to want to sell you life insurance. So how does someone talk with more than one person and get an unbiased look at what their product happens to be and what you really need?
Well, I think the key is to recognize you want somebody who has the ability to focus on your needs, and you want to make sure you get a couple of opinions. But the bottom line is, insurance, term insurance is relatively inexpensive, and as long as you're mm-hmm. buying the right amount with a high-quality company, everybody needs it. As long as you have somebody depending upon you and you've not saved enough to cover for all of your needs and that of your loved ones.
Right. Okay. Becky, we wish you the best with that. Thank you very much. If you're just tuning in, this program is called Money Wise Live, and we're taking your calls live on anything financial that interests you. Let's continue by going to Miami, Rob, and saying hi to Natasha.
Natasha, thanks for calling today. How can we help?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you it's a blessing to be talking to you guys. Honestly,
I hear you
constantly for many years.
Oh, and that's very kind of you. Yes, sir.
I mentioned that I wanted to find out your opinion about paying my house off.
Okay.
Me and my husband have a 401k. I have a 401k. We have a portfolio, and we also have a Roth IRA. The payoff will not include touching any of this. We have some money saved that we usually save before we go ahead and transfer to the portfolio. But we do have our emergency set up and everything. I just wanted to know your opinion.
Okay. So if you were to pay off the house, where would those funds come from?
From just a regular, simple savings account that we take money every week and put it there until we build enough to maybe put in the portfolio.
Okay, very good. How much do you have saved up currently?
We have saved over with the portfolio and the IRA and my 401k close to $600,000.
Okay, what if you don't count the retirement funds, just the non-retirement funds? How much do you have?
Oh, my savings, just in the savings that we planning to use to pay the house?
Yes, ma'am.
We have about $280,000.
Okay, and what's the balance on the mortgage, Natasha?
It's $215,000.
$215,000. Okay, so you'd still have...
$215,000.
Okay, very good. So you'd still have quite a bit left over.
that will be our emergency account. Now, okay. The payment that we usually pay every month for the house will go back into that savings account monthly.
Yes. Yeah. And are you retired now, or are you and your husband still working?
No, my husband is retired, but he's still working from home. And okay. I'm still working. I'm just turning 60.
Okay. All right. Well, I think the idea here is a good one. I love you paying off this house and doing it in concert with your retirement. And I think you'll have greater peace of mind, and then you could rebuild that savings over time. So I like this plan a lot.
And as Rob finishes up with Natasha, we're going to have to say goodbye for today. Natasha, you stay on the line. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget about us. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new edition of MoneyWise Live.